This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson takes over today from Bob Dole on Face Off. The issue we'll debate in a moment is whether Al Simpson ought to take over from Bob Dole as Senate Republican leader, too. Welcome to Face Off, Al. I have a lot of friends in the wide open spaces of your state of Wyoming, and I'm going to enjoy pointing out the wide open spaces in your logic. You've always called them as you see them, Al, and that's why you have such broad respect in the Senate. So how about calling this one, Al? Bob Dole is running for president at the same time he's Republican leader of the Senate. As the saying goes, if you want a tough job done, give it to a busy man, but this is ridiculous. Those responsibilities don't mix, do they, Al? Don't be bashful. You'd make a pretty good Republican leader yourself if Bob Dole decides to stop juggling his two important jobs.
Now that is quite a suggestion, Ted, and I'd be honored to lead the party in the Senate. But I'd rather be majority leader than minority leader. Let's put Republicans back in the majority in next year's elections. We Republicans are ready to do the heavy lifting once again. We're the only ones who ever made a tough budget vote since I've been here. And while we're at it, my friend Bob Michael would make an extraordinary Speaker of the House. And how about a Republican majority there too, Ted? In fact, why not go for a grand slam and put another Republican in the White House in 1988? Someone who can build on Ronald Reagan's legacy. 58 consecutive months of economic growth. Quite frankly, Ted, your current crop of candidates reminds me of Wyoming's Powder River, a mile wide and an inch deep. Thanks for the kind words, though, Ted, and I'm honored to take up the reins of this program from a capable guy like Bob Dole. So hang on tight, as they say in Wyoming, and you rode once at Frontier Days, Ted. Here we come out of chute number four. This is Al Simpson. Does Ted Kennedy have the political courage to cap entitlement spending? Find out tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. It's time to put cost of living increases on the budget negotiating table, even if that sets Ted Kennedy's knees to jerking. We'll face off in a minute. Ted, everyone agrees we've got to cut the budget, but no one wants to face the hard truth. Well, I'm ready to speak the unspeakable. I'm talking about limiting cost of living increases in all, and yes, I said all, the entitlements. Social Security, veterans benefits, military, federal retirement. Now, I know that that strikes terror in a free-spending heart like yours, Ted, but we have to look at those programs for the same reason that Willie Sutton robbed banks, because that's where the money is. Now, I agree that any present amount of benefit currently being received should be protected and in full. All we have to do is summon up the collective political courage to cut those, quote, automatic yearly increases. These untouchable programs make up 70% of the budget, Ted. How can you shield them and ever honestly reduce this deficit?
Al, you need another lesson from Willie Sutton. If he goes where the money really is, he'd be heading for the Pentagon. Instead of cheerleading for the right and trotting out unfair schemes to balance the budget on the backs of the poor, Al, I wish just once you'd try to cut spending where the fat is, in the gold-plated weapon systems and freewheeling military spending of the Reagan years. Pick on someone your own size for a change, Al. Cutting back on Social Security is a thoroughly bad idea. You're attacking the poorest of the poor. For elderly citizens living on the edge, Social Security makes all the difference, and the annual cost of living adjustment is part of that protection. Next time you get the urge to cut, Al, spend a month living on what Social Security will buy and see if that's really where you want to cut. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Al Simpson. Political belligerence is robbing consumers in the Northeast of a clean and efficient fuel supply. Join us as Ted Kennedy and I face off. In the Northeast United States, two nuclear power plants are sitting dead in the water. They're victims of high drama, and now a lot of hype and hoorah from Democratic presidential politics. Some $10 billion have been spent designing and building the Seabrook and Shoreham power plants. Federal regulators assure us they're completely safe. But politicians in your state of Massachusetts, Ted, are whipping up public fear. They're trying to use the emergency planning process to keep those plants from coming on stream. It's an obstructive tactic. The Europeans have relied on nuclear power in their energy mix for decades, to the great benefit of the environment and the pocketbook. commercial nuclear power is a necessary reality in this country, and you folks in Massachusetts should stop gimmicking the system, Ted. Or will it take a brownout in Massachusetts to really get your attention?
Al, you've got it just backwards. The Chernobyl nuclear power plant catastrophe in the Soviet Union is what got our attention in the Northeast. We don't want a meltdown in our crowded cities, and we don't want nuclear reactors in communities where emergency evacuation is impossible. I oppose nuclear energy, Al. We don't need to use it, and we don't need to build plants in populated areas. Unlike other nations, America is blessed with abundant alternative energy sources that are readily available to meet our power needs safely. You're also forgetting the near catastrophe at Three Mile Island in 1979, Al. Nothing since then has reduced the need to protect the public safety. It would be tempting fate now to relax our guard in the teeth of Chernobyl. The last place I want to be, Al, is in the bumper-to-bumper traffic at a nuclear power plant when the meltdown signal sounds. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Handgun Control. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress should act on handgun control and halt the arms race on our city streets. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, I know you have to look over your shoulder on handgun control in case the gun lobby is gaining on you. What's wrong with responsible restrictions as long as they don't interfere with the rights of hunters and sportsmen or the right of citizens to protect themselves? And don't give me that jazz about the Second Amendment, Al. No responsible constitutional scholar agrees with you, and I doubt that Judge Bork does either. Current rules are more loophole than law. Why not ban the cheap Saturday night specials widely used in violent crime? They have no sporting purpose, Al. Their only use is to kill a human being. And why not require a waiting period before handgun purchases to stop buyers with criminal records? Use a little common sense, Al. You'll save lives and cut crime, too.
Ted, your tired old argument for gun control lacks some firepower. Article 2 of the Constitution guarantees the right to keep and bear arms, and to me that says it all. We already have plenty of gun control laws on the statute books. I'm just opposed to any further form of gun control or registration. As with any form of freedom, the right to keep and bear arms has led to some specific evils in specific circumstances. But in America, we choose to provide maximum freedoms, and this is sure an important one. If you're willing to throw out Article 2 of the Constitution, Ted, what other parts of that remarkable document might we discard? I'll sure join you in supporting stronger penalties against people who use guns to commit violent crime. But additional gun control is not a cure for that disease. The old saying still rings true. If we outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. The Reagan administration is going slow on aid to the Contras in Nicaragua. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you've been a loyal supporter of the president on Central America for years, but even you must have doubts about the administration's long-standing commitment to the idea of military aid for the Contras in Nicaragua. Now the policy seems to be changing. Even President Reagan is considering some form of negotiations with the Sandinistas, and a push for more military aid has been put off until next year. The administration has never liked the Central American peace plan presented by President Arias of Costa Rica, but President Arias won the Nobel Prize for the proposal. And even the administration now seems to recognize that it offers a better hope for peace than U.S. aid to the Contras. If President Reagan is having second thoughts about aid to the Contras, Al, are you willing to do the same and give peace a chance?
President Reagan has had Danny Ortega figured out for a long time, and that just vexes you, doesn't it, Ted? This country's policy of lending various forms of support for the Contra rebels has driven the Sandinistas to the negotiating table. The Reagan policy is the same one it's always been, to nurture and promote democracy in Nicaragua. We know from sad past experience that the only way Danny Ortega keeps a promise is when you hold his tootsies right up there to the fire. He has broken almost every promise he ever made, reneging on commitments of freedom of speech, press, and assembly, a pluralistic society, and a mixed economy, In delaying the request for military aid, the administration is really giving Ortega yet one more chance. If he fails to live up to this agreement, then we should again provide aid to those who want to fight for their freedoms. Ronald Reagan is committed to peace, democracy, and stability in Central America, Ted. But you seem hell-bent on continuing to make excuses for a guy like Ortega. I think that's a shame. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should doped-up pilots be allowed in our skies? Ted Kennedy and I will face off on drug testing in just a minute. When I'm on an airplane or a train, I sure like to think that the people in charge of my life are right at the top of their game. That's why I want to see mandatory drug testing for train engineers, airline pilots, air traffic controllers, and all other key public transportation workers. In recent years, we've seen a number of tragic accidents occur, only to find out after some tugging and hauling that one of these essential transportation workers had been smoking pot or shooting dope or boozing it up. Drug testing is the only answer. Pre-employment screening, random testing, and testing for cause after an accident. If someone tests positive for controlled substances, then give them the boot. Don't you want to feel safe when you buckle up for a takeoff, Ted? Or will pressure from your union friends keep you out of this tough issue?
Al, your heart's in the right place, but your head's in the far right place. Obviously, we need to take strong steps to deal with the serious problem of drugs in the workplace, especially in the transportation industry, where drug use jeopardizes the safety of the public and is literally a matter of life and death for millions of travelers. But the sort of blunderbuss legislation you're pushing creates more problems than it solves, Al, and they need to be worked out before the bill becomes a law. The two most serious objections relate to the mandatory massive random testing you're proposing for employees and the pervasive problem of false positive results. As a practical matter, both business and labor experts agree that such massive testing is inaccurate, unworkable, uneconomical, and maybe unconstitutional. You've got a good idea, Al, but it needs another visit to the drawing board before it's ready for prime time. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the cruelty of the dictatorship in Panama. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The nation of Panama is suffering under a cruel dictator, and the right wing in the United States is making the situation worse. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the tragedy unfolding in Panama is being compounded by elements of the far right in the United States. They're quietly trying to reopen the 1978 Canal Treaty, which requires the United States to turn over the canal to Panama by the year 2000. General Noriega, the corrupt Panamanian dictator, stands accused of murder, drug running, and other crimes. When demonstrations erupted against his regime in recent months, he imposed a state of emergency, harassed U.S. diplomats, and unleashed his stormtroopers. The problem, Al, is that General Noriega is using U.S. criticism of his regime as a sign that you right-wingers want the canal back. It's time to stop that misleading propaganda. Let's tell General Noriega to step down, Al, and tell Panama we intend to abide by the treaty.
Your absolute paranoia of all things labeled conservative has muddled you up again, Ted. No person I know supports the corrupt regime of General Noriega. Your story about taking back the canal is exciting fiction. There will always be those who regret approval of the treaty. You can't change that. But I'm relieved to see that the liberal wing of your party has finally come around to realize the corruption and brutality of the Noriega regime. Some in your party have been so defensive about the canal agreement that you fail to see the real tragedy there. It's about time you all figured that out and opened your eyes to reality and quit protecting that tin horn dictatorship. In an honest and reflective moment, you would have to admit that it is the Reagan administration and not the Democrats in Congress who decided to cut off military and economic aid to Noriega until he embraced democratic reforms. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. What has Ted Kennedy learned in 25 years on Capitol Hill? I'll have an answer when Ted and I face off. My hat's off to you, Ted. Just last week, you celebrated 25 years in the United States Senate, and that's quite an accomplishment. When I first came to the Senate, our good colleague and friend, the Dean of the Senate, John Stennis, counseled me that the Senate is a fascinating place. As he said about it, some grow and some swell. Well, I think you're one that has grown, Ted, and I've watched with interest as you've come to be ever more realistic about doling out all of the bucks from the federal treasury. You even supported the Graham Rudman Hollings budget balancing law when it was first passed last year, and again when we enacted the fix. The bills and the duns are now due on the spending sprees of the past, and after 25 years in the Senate, you know that as well as anybody here, Ted. I commend you for your quarter century of service and for your newly acquired budget realism.
Thanks a lot, Al. I accept your nomination. 25 years is a long time to be in the Senate. At least that's what your Republican colleagues keep telling me. We have our disagreements, Al, but I'm sure you agree that day in and day out, what counts the most has never been the pages in the congressional record or the laws on the statute books, but the satisfaction of knowing that what we do is making a difference in people's lives. When I first came to the Senate, Al, the Vietnam War was the overriding issue. Now it's the budget deficit. That's why I voted for Graham Rudman, because it guarantees automatic deficit reductions if Congress fails to act. The challenge in the foreseeable future is to do more without spending more. It's a privilege to have served in the Senate these past 25 years, Al, and I intend to stay there until I get the hang of it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on testing for AIDS. It should be voluntary, not compulsory. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Massive compulsory testing for the disease called AIDS is a bad idea, and it's also bad health policy. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, to win the war against AIDS, we need to set sensible national priorities. We all agree that more research should be funded, but until we find a cure, the only realistic strategy against the disease is a nationwide program for education and prevention. In particular, we need to encourage people in high-risk groups to come forward and be tested to see whether they are infected with the virus. The problem, Al, is that your right-wing friends want testing to be compulsory. That's a mistake. It will only drive the victims underground. The virus will continue its unchecked spread and the epidemic will explode. 25,000 Americans have died of AIDS since 1981, Al, and 1.5 million more are infected with the virus. Let's fight the disease with sound medical policy, Al, not right-wing ideology.
As I observe, Ted, the only one making AIDS a partisan issue is you. Certainly, AIDS is the number one health issue of our lifetime. It's not a right-wing or a left-wing concern. Clearly, voluntary testing is the way to go. But to take the stubborn approach that testing should never be required just doesn't make good public health sense. There are indeed some cases in which mandatory testing just may be a very good thing. Your own voting record contradicts your statement, Ted. On June 2nd, you voted in favor of a bill calling for the mandatory AIDS testing of immigrants to the United States. And when the Senate was debating about how best to provide education on the AIDS issue, you didn't say a word. But you ended up voting in favor of the controversial legislation, even though it was sponsored by conservative Republicans. Could it be that you didn't know just quite what to do? Actions speak louder than words, Ted, and even the words had a hollow ring today. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson. I've admitted it. Boy, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off on the media's scrutiny of public officials. I've watched with some dismay as one public figure after another is brought down by the media's intense scrutiny of one's own personal life. You must agree, Ted. None of us could pass some of the ideological and harsh litmus tests that have recently been applied to able individuals like Robert Bork, Joe Biden, Douglas Ginsburg, and others. It's time to lower the decibel level. There is no such thing as perfection. Yet the less perfection people have in their own lives, the more they seem to expect it in their public officials, their legislators, and in legislation itself. What do you say, Ted? The Senate will soon begin considering the nomination of Anthony Kennedy to the U.S. Supreme Court. Will you join me in treating this nominee with the dignity and respect befitting an individual of fine reputation, intellect, and accomplishment? It might just set a whole new tone for us all.
I must say, Al, that headline, Reagan to nominate Kennedy, was a little confusing. I was afraid at first that the president was nominating me for something, probably ambassador to Beirut. Actually, I've always thought there should be a Kennedy on the Supreme Court, and you can be sure of one thing, Al. I'll be looking closely at Judge Kennedy's record to be sure he's more than just a famous name. In fact, the whole Senate will take a close look, too, after all the trouble over Judge Bork and the fiasco over Judge Ginsburg. I met Judge Kennedy the other day when he dropped by my Senate office. We swapped shamrocks and compared notes about our Irish roots. The name Kennedy means helmet in Gaelic, and I told the judge it might be a good idea to bring his helmet to the Judiciary Committee hearings. I hope you'll be wearing yours too, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on independent prosecutors and wrongdoing by high officials. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson doesn't like special prosecutors investigating corruption in the executive branch. He thinks Ed Meese should investigate himself. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, I must say, you sure know how to march to a different drummer. The other day, you were one of only 10 hardcore, hard-right senators, all Republican, who voted no on special prosecutor legislation in the Senate. The vote was 85 to 10, and you were one of the lonely 10. The issue is the rule of law, Al. No one should investigate himself or be the judge in his own case. That's why we passed the law creating court-appointed special prosecutors. It's the best way to guarantee fair and impartial investigation of wrongdoing by high officials in the executive branch. What's wrong with appointing special prosecutors, Al? No one is above the law. It's unacceptable for the White House to investigate itself, whether the issue is Watergate or Irangate or Ed Meese or Mike Deaver.
I did vote against that legislation, Ted, because there's a real question of whether or not the creation of an independent counsel is constitutional. It's not that they shouldn't exist, but just who do these folks report to? This is the fundamental question that needs to be answered by the courts before we blindly appropriate more bucks. And while you seem to salivate at the thought of special prosecutors investigating the White House and the executive branch, you voted not to let them investigate members of Congress. How do you explain that one? I think that members of Congress should be treated just like other government officials. That's why that legislation is flawed, constitutionally and ethically. It's a sorry note when members of Congress talk up investigations to ensure the public's right to know about our leadership, and then turn right around and vote to keep themselves from receiving the same scrutiny. You say no one is above the law, but that's sure not how you voted, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on cracking down on child pornographers. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The First Amendment does not protect child pornographers. I'll see if Ted Kennedy agrees when we face off after this. Child pornographers are absolutely abhorrent creatures. I know you agree, Ted. The problem is that some of these people have legally shielded themselves with laws that were never intended to protect the peddlers of porn. President Reagan is taking steps to put these guys behind bars. Congress needs to act soon in legislation that he's proposing, the Child Protection and Obscenity Enforcement Act. This act would make it a crime to receive or possess obscene material with the intent to sell, and prosecutors could crack down on computer networks and on these parents who tragically permit their children to be used and abused in pornography. Some of your chums in the civil liberties community would allow these worthies to hide behind the First Amendment. But freedom of speech and expression does not give anyone the right to abuse children. Let's get tough on the child pornographers, Ted.
Al, I've supported every anti-child pornography bill that's passed the Congress in recent years. As a member of the Judiciary Committee, we've worked hard to protect children while respecting the First Amendment. A 1977 measure prohibited interstate trafficking in obscene material on children. In 1984, we gave law enforcement officials new tools to crack down on the unscrupulous exploitation of children by peddlers of child pornography, especially in cases involving racketeering and organized crime. The Supreme Court helped out in 1982 with a landmark decision granting federal, state, and local governments broad authority under the Constitution to ban such material. even when it is not technically obscene by adult standards under the First Amendment. If law enforcement officers need more help against child pornographers, Al, a solid bipartisan majority of Congress stands ready to provide it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Thanksgiving and the Needy. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It may be Thanksgiving, but the Reagan administration is still being its heartless self, socking it to the needy. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, even you have to admit that the Reagan administration was acting like a turkey when it chose the Thanksgiving season to announce that the federal program to distribute surplus food to the needy is being slashed in half. Every month, 20 million hungry men, women, and children obtain food distributed under the program through charities, food banks, and soup kitchens. In some states, the program helps even more people than food stamps. Almost half the households getting food have incomes less than $5,000 a year. Granted, Al, government food supplies have declined because changes in the federal law have reduced farm surpluses. But that's no Thanksgiving comfort to the millions of needy going hungry this winter because Uncle Sam's cupboard is getting bare. What about it, Al? Is Old Mother Simpson willing to help?
Old Mother Simpson? Why, you... Well, like many Americans this Thanksgiving, Ted, I'm thankful for so many blessings. This country has bountiful resources, and the program you just described was started by guess who, Ted? Yeah, Ronald Reagan. The Temporary Emergency Food Assistance Program was passed so that our food surplus would not go to waste, especially when there were people who could make good use of that food. We started with our surplus cheese, but then expanded into other foods that the Department of Agriculture was holding. Dry milk, rice, honey, flour, cornmeal, and butter. The program was so successful that since 1984, we've given away about 90% of all the cheese the government had stored in caves. We will be distributing the same amount of food as usual to community centers. But, Ted, you can't spend what you don't have, and you can't give away surplus cheese that doesn't exist. The program worked. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy can really bring home the bacon for his own state, but will he sacrifice just a bit in order to help America's farmers? We'll face off in just a moment. It puzzles me, Ted. We sink over $25.8 billion into agriculture in just 1 year, and more farmers are going broke all the time. When are we going to wake up on that one? We really don't take care of the little guy at all. Some of the biggest fat cat corporations in America benefit the most from our farm programs. We pay excessive subsidies for the six basic commodities of corn, rice, cotton, tobacco, wheat, and peanuts. And the well-positioned legislators gimmick the system by playing to certain high-powered special interests. One of our colleagues looked at the honey support program a couple of years ago and said, even the honeybees are laughing. I see you'll be bringing home some pork in Massachusetts, too, Ted. A grant for Belgian endive research. Now, boy, aren't those the salad days.
Al, it sounds like your idea of a farm program is hee-haw. Your flawed Republican economic policies have hit many sectors of the economy hard, but none harder than agriculture. Reaganomics put millions of farmers through the ringer. Massive budget deficits led to massive trade deficits. Farm exports, the backbone of the farm economy, dried up, dropping from $33 billion in 1981 to $20 billion in 1986. Farm prices plunged. Decent, hard-working farm families suffered through the worst recession since the Great Depression. Thousands were driven into bankruptcy, losing their tractors, their farms, their land, their families. We have a multi-billion-dollar farm crisis on our hands, Al, and you complain about a small potatoes grant for worthwhile scientific research on farms in Massachusetts. You'd better change the channel on your TV, Al. Hee-haw's the wrong answer. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Student Loan Deadbeats. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Student defaults on college loans are a worsening national scandal. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, students in growing numbers across the country are defaulting on college loans. The federal loans program is designed to be just that, loans, not grants. The dollars repaid by today's graduates finance the education of tomorrow's students. It's the only way to stretch scarce education dollars to help more students, but too many of them are ripping off the program. This year, the federal government will cough up $1.7 billion to cover loan defaults, more than triple the amount in 1983. In fact, defaults are now the third largest expenditure by the Department of Education. The problem is that students, colleges, and lenders have no incentive to pay up. They just pass the buck to Uncle Sam. That's unacceptable, Al. Will you join me in cracking down on this abuse responsibly before the Secretary of Education, Bill Bennett, does it irresponsibly?
Right on, Ted. Those who take advantage of federal student loans have a moral and legal obligation to pay them back. The federal government doesn't have unlimited resources, and all thoughtful legislators are making efforts to limit federal spending responsibly. Our student aid programs have gotten out of hand. We're spending much more on Pell Grants and on guaranteed student loans than we ever planned for. Last year, we finally tackled the problem with changes in the Higher Education Act. Now, finally, all students will have to pass a financial needs test in order to qualify for student loans. Federal student loans are not a right or an entitlement. They're a privilege and an obligation. We must lay that fact on the students and the schools that take advantage of those programs. I sure do disagree with you, Ted, on Secretary Bennett. He clearly has an important role to play in all matters relating to education, including collecting on those student loans. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.